Turning your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. I'll begin on the odd numbered verses, and then if you'll join me on the even numbered verses, we'll read down to verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter number 60. Stand with me, please, in Isaiah chapter number 60. I'll begin at verse number 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And when thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come. Lord, thank you so much for this time of the year. Thank you so much for sending your Son. And Lord, the incredible gift that you did give us, Lord, of your Son coming and dying for us. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would never take away from Christmas and never get sidetracked from the real reason of Christmas. Pray, Lord, that you please be at the service tonight, be with the preacher as he preaches. Help us to listen. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand.
Thank you, Brother Tony. That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, you know how hard that is to sing a song that's familiar to a different melody. That is not easy. Some people have a hard time singing the melody that is familiar with the song. And then to sing like that, my. And that was beautiful. I like that melody better than the normal one. So thank you, Brother Tony. Wonderful. I'm preaching on the Magi's gifts. I did this morning. If you were over in the junior church or the bus Sunday school or some other area of ministry, I preached that subject this morning. I'll speak on that subject tonight, and that will be the theme of the Wednesday afternoon service here from 4 to 5. The Magi's gifts, I want you to see it in verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, grateful tonight for the opportunity to have church again. Now please speak to our hearts. I ask, dear Lord, that you might help me to bring a message that will encourage and bless the hearts of your folks. Thank you for the great service this morning and for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, help us to practically put into our lives what we talked about this morning and make you king. And now help us tonight with this subject in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, although the church, Brianna and Stephen, good to see you guys. Were y'all here all night? Or did y'all just come in? You just came in. Brianna and Stephen Howard are here, so it's good to see you. Amen. And very good. They messed up the first part of my message, but it's still good to see them. So that's good. I don't want to miss anybody, so very good. Now, all right, although the church or church age is never mentioned by the Old Testament prophets, some truths about this time period, one we're living in right now, were foretold or revealed in the Old Testament. And in this passage, Isaiah is prophesying about the influx of Gentile people that will come to faith in the Messiah. You know that during the church age, the majority of folks who are coming to Christ are Gentiles, okay? There are still Jewish people getting saved, and I think Brother Sharp made that very clear when he was here and looks at his work in Israel as a preparation for when a great harvest of Jews will be saved in the tribulation period, okay? And so there's a great influx of Gentile people that's going to come in to the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, here in Isaiah chapter 60 talks about it. So boils down to, this is a passage about you and me in these first several verses. And like a lot of Old Testament prophecies, there are dual fulfillments of some of the prophecies that are about the Gentiles and so forth. Look at verse number 2. It talks about the time period between the end of Malachi and the birth of Jesus. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Those 400 years between when Malachi ended and between when God revealed to Zechariah and Elizabeth about John the Baptist, about 400 years there of no message from God, no revelation from God, no word from the Lord. Now you think about that, friend, 400 years of God not speaking to mankind. You know, I had this thought also as well this week. You know, we know that the Bible, I'm talking about the physical Bible that you and I hold in our hands, that Bible was assembled over a time span of about 1,600 years. So think about that. That means that for one quarter of those 1,600 years, God did not speak or reveal His Word to man. You got about 1,100 years of Old Testament revelation. Then you've got a 400-year period of silence. And then you've got about 100 years of New Testament revelation. So think about that. 1,600-year time span, but 400 of those years, God didn't speak. So didn't say a word to anybody. And then God broke the silence, as I said, with His revelation to Zechariah and Elizabeth about John the Baptist. And then he was the forerunner of Christ. And then 6 months later, another revelation came to Mary and Joseph about Jesus, and then Jesus was born. And look at what it says in verse number 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And look at the end of verse number 2. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus came. That 400 years of darkness was broken. The light of the world came. And the glory of the Lord was risen upon the earth. And Gentiles shall come to this light. Look at verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And bless the Lord, they have. And for all these years since Jesus came, went back to, died, was buried, and rose again, ascended to heaven a few days later. Now, since about Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles have just been pouring into salvation, and that's what this is talking about here. Now, verse number 6 is a prophecy that's partially fulfilled in the wise men that we read about this morning in Matthew chapter 2. It talks about the multitude of camels, okay? And they shall come, and they all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. All right, so here they come. They come with gold and incense, and these camels. And here are the gifts are mentioned, and this time myrrh is not mentioned, but gold and incense are. And this is partially fulfilled when the wise men came from the east and brought the gifts we read about in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Now we talked about gold today. And how they brought the gold, and gold because Jesus was to be a king. And he will carry, Isaiah 9:6, he will carry the government on his shoulders. He will bear it. He will shoulder it, and it will be upon him. And his government brings peace. And basically, if you weren't in the service this morning, the theme for you and me practically was this. The quicker you and I recognize his kingship and submit to it, the quicker we will have the peace that comes with his rule. And the longer you resist his kingship, the more miserable you'll be. And it shows. And it does show. And it shows clearly. So the simple thing to do is bring the Lord Jesus some gold, submit, make him king in your life, and live according to his authority, and you'll enjoy the peace of God that is the result of that, okay? But now, not only did they bring him gold, they brought him incense. Now, that's the frankincense mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. Now, what is significant about the frankincense? Well, this is what's significant about it. It was used in the worship of God. It was used in the worship of God. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, we won't go there. God told Moses how to make the incense for the altar of incense that was in the tabernacle. That's also referred to as the golden altar. Now, you remember the brazen altar was out in the courtyard, made out of brass. The golden altar was inside the tent, okay, right by the veil that separated the holy from the holy of holies. And he said, now, Moses, he said, I want you to take four spices, stachti and onycha and galbanum and pure frankincense. So you take those four spices, and I want you to put an equal part of each one of those, and then put them together, and then I want you to grind it to a powder. You grind it to a real fine powder, and then you take some of the priest, you take some of, they'll take some of that powder into the tabernacle, and they'll go to the altar of incense, the golden altar that's burning there. It has some coals on it. Where did it get this coals? It got its coals off the brazen altar out in the courtyard, and they'll bring some coals in. And you put that powder on those coals, and that powder is going to burn. And when it burns, it's going to give off a little smoke. A little smoke is going to fill the tabernacle. But more than the smoke, it's going to give off an aroma. And it was the frankincense, it was the pure frankincense that gave off the smell. It was the pure frankincense that gave off the aroma. I don't know what you did to entertain yourself when you were a kid. I know what kids do now to entertain themselves. They push buttons. We didn't have buttons to push. We had to get baseball cards and put them on spokes, okay? And come up with all kinds of other ideas. And so we made a lot of gunpowder. We made gunpowder. We would get the ingredients, the saltpeter and the sulfur. And I can't remember all the it seems like there was a charcoal. I can't remember all the ingredients that went into gunpowder. And some of those ingredients made it flash. And some of those ingredients made it burn. And I just remember making it. And that's what God told Moses. He said, you take these four spices, equal parts of each. You put them together, grind it to a small powder. And then you take every day, you take that powder in and you put it on the golden altar. And it's going to burn and it's going to produce a little smoke. But that pure incense that's a part of that is going to create a beautiful aroma, a distinct smell. Now, I want you to listen to what God told Moses about that powder. Listen to this. He said, "You shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord." I love what he said there. He said, you don't take that exact formula. You don't take the quarter part of frankincense, and stachdi and onycha and galbanum. You don't ever take that those exact measurements and put them together to make a concoction for yourself. That is a concoction that is only supposed to come forth, a composition that is only supposed to be made for the worship of God. And don't you mess with it. Don't you ever make it for yourselves. It is only to be used in the worship of God. So let me ask you a question. Did the wise men make a mistake by bringing frankincense to the little child Jesus? No, I don't think they did. I believe they knew what they were doing, just like they did when they brought him that gold. This wasn't some last minute Christmas shopping, as I said this morning. This was well thought out and planned, and according to the scripture and the word of God. And they gathered that gold, those gold coins or bars, whatever it was. And they brought that because Jesus was born to be a king. And then they gathered that frankincense, that pure frankincense, that spice that made that beautiful, distinct aroma and smell in the tabernacle temple. And they brought that because wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face, this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. That was God in that little body there. That was God in human flesh. Now, I said this morning about Isaiah chapter 9, talking about Jesus being the king. But also in that same passage, the Bible tells us that his name will be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So this little boy, this little child, now he's about 15 months old, 18 months old, and here come these magi from Persia or some from Arabia possibly. And they come and they lay that gold at his feet. And they lay that incense, that frankincense at his feet, because this little boy is God in human flesh. And what condescension, friend, that God would make himself flesh and come from heaven to the earth. It is a remarkable thing. Don't get used to it. Don't let it grow old to you, because we've been taught about the incarnation in Christian homes from the time we were little. It's an amazing, remarkable thing that God would come from heaven to earth in the form of a little boy and a little baby. That is God in flesh, human flesh. No wonder the songwriter wrote these words down from his glory. Ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears and agony. Sorry, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, but that's God in that little boy's body. Sorry, Mr. Mormon, but that's God in that little boy's body. Sorry, Mr. Atheist, but that's God in that little boy's body. As God, he was worthy of incense. Worthy of incense. Now listen, this morning we talked about gold, and we treat Jesus as king by submitting ourselves to him and letting him rule in our lives. So how about frankincense? How does frankincense work for you and me? How does it become practical in this day and age? Well, we treat Jesus as God by worshiping him with the sweet smell of incense by being before him in prayer. And that's what incense became known for. It became known as the emblem of prayer. But I want to say, folks, that you know, we've talked about this over the years, the Bible distinguishes all kinds of praying. The Bible talks about intercession, and the Bible talks about supplication, and the Bible talks about asking, and the Bible talks about thanksgiving, and the Bible talks about all different things that make up the great opportunity that we know of as prayer, the great Christian privilege that we know. We talked about that most of this past summer. The messages on the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. We talked about that this past summer. But this, the kind of praying that is represented by the emblem of incense is a very specific kind of praying. It's worship. It's worship. It's realizing and recognizing and confessing and telling God how wonderful He is and how marvelous He is and how great He is and what a God He is. And the fact that He would even take time to think about somebody as frail and pitiful, a human being as I am, born in sin and going my own direction, doing my own thing. Prayer, this kind of prayer, is a worship. You remember how that? You remember the tabernacle there in the Old Testament and how outside, if we can use this side to be the courtyard and let this side of the platform be the tent, if you will, and how that when they came into the courtyard, there was the brazen altar. You remember that? And that's where the sacrifices were made. And then you go a few steps further, and here's the brazen laver that had the water in it. And of course, this back here is a picture of salvation. And you get saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the laver that has the water in it is a picture of the Word of God, and how after they were saved over here, after they went to the altar and offered the sacrifice, they stepped up to the laver and they washed themselves. And the laver is a picture of the fact that we need a daily cleansing. We got forgiven from our sins once and for all when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. And you know, by the way, folks, let me just say a word to that. My wife and I were talking about that, I think, early this morning. You know, it's very difficult. Sometimes people struggle with this matter of eternal security. I went to see a man this past Tuesday night, 90 years of age, 90 years old, and he gets so hard of hearing. I had to almost yell at him. Oh, can I put a pause button right here? Because saying hard of hearing and yelling at somebody reminds me of Caleb. And being reminded of Caleb reminds me that he sent me a text today and a picture of a Malagasy family that visited his church this morning. He won this man from Madagascar that lives up in Minnesota to Christ about 3 weeks ago, and the whole Malagasy family came to church this morning in Minnesota. And so I texted that picture on the bin. Now let's get back to the message, all right? So I get called. You like those commercials, right? Okay. So I get called, and I go down, and I'm talking, and it touched my heart. The man's 90 years of age. And he was a businessman in this community for years and years and years, a very successful businessman in this community. And Pastor, he said, I just have a hard time. I hope that I'm ready for heaven. And I know I was saved as a 12-year-old boy. And that's how I kind of talked. And he said, but so much has happened. And my mind is so blurred. And, I'm not going to live forever. And I just want to know that I'm ready for heaven. And I said, listen, talk to me about your boyhood, about being saved. And I got saved at age 12, and I got baptized. And I was saved at the Church of God out of Anderson, Indiana. And inside, my heart was warmed because the Anderson, Indiana Church of God crowd is a very old-fashioned conservative. Ladies wear their dresses all the way down and buns like this on their head and no makeup. And I mean, they're ultra, ultra conservative, and they don't speak in tongues. And they preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I figured as a 12-year-old boy, that puts it back, that's 78 years ago. 78 years ago, he hears the gospel from a gospel preaching group. 78 years ago, the Methodists were still preaching the gospel back then. So here's the Anderson Church of God, Anderson, Indiana. I've been through there. I know what I'm talking about with that crowd of folks. I've known some of those people. And I said to him, and I explained to him, I took him to John chapter 3, and I was yelling at him, and just getting right in his face. And I said, do you see this? And I held it up and talked to him, and the birth. And I said, don't confuse loss of reward with loss of salvation. You might lose reward for things that you did that you never confessed, but you can't lose a birth. You can't undo a birth, man. When you're birthed in, you're in. And you know, hey, folks, I can appreciate a man who's 90 years of age. And boy, think about it. I mean, 90, 56, blurred mind, I'm already there. And, you know, so here he is. And, you know, and listen, my wife and I were talking about that this morning. And do you know why it's so hard for you and me to really just get comfortable with eternal security? Is because nothing here is eternal. Nothing. Well, marriage is. I'm sorry. Marriage is till death do you part. That's what it says. There's nothing here that's eternal. Nothing. Nothing on this earth. Everything we know is in the realm of the temporal. Everything we're about is in the realm of the temporal. But our Bible promises, and you know what? You might be in your 60s now, and 10 years if Jesus stays in heaven, you hit 75 or 78 and your health starts to fail, and you think to yourself, man, the devil comes with his assault to cause you to wonder and fret about your salvation. Friend, there's nothing we know here on earth that is all temporal. You have to run to the promises of God's book. And God has made it clear that salvation is an eternal transaction that cannot be undone. Rest in the promises of God. And you know what? That old man, he said that we were talking and he said, "You helped me. You helped me. I got it. You helped me." And boy, I'll tell you what, I didn't lead him to the Lord. That's not what, you know, grand chalk number one, number two, number 16, or whatever it is. Just the fact that you can share a little truth with somebody and they get a little bit of help from the Word of God, that's worth it all, friend. Now, I got off on that because I'm over here at the sacrifice, okay? And this represents salvation. And then the laver represents cleansing, daily cleansing. And now the priest goes into the tent and he goes through the eastern side of that tent there. And here's the golden candlestick. And over here is the table of showbread. And then over here, there's a very, very thick veil. A very, very thick veil. And this is where the altar of incense is. The golden altar. The altar of incense. And right up against the veil. Now look, folks. Right there. Right through that veil. Right there. Is where the presence of God is. Right there. Do you see how close that priest was to the presence of God? He was only separated from that presence by that thick curtain. And so when he came, now watch this, when he came to that curtain at that altar of incense and was putting that powder on those coals, and those coals were igniting that powder, and the powder was burning and the smoke was rising, and the aroma filled the whole tabernacle. Right there. He is as close to the presence of God as a person could ever be who wasn't the high priest. He was as close to the presence of God as a man could ever be who wasn't the high priest. The regular priest could do this. And that is what I'm talking about this evening. I'm talking about this kind of prayer. This kind of prayer. This worship kind of prayer. I am convinced that it brings us into the presence of God like no other kind of prayer does. I believe with all my heart that God wants us to come to Him and ask Him for our needs. We talked about that. I believe with all my heart that God wants us to make supplication and intercession for people who are lost and for people who are on their way to hell and for friends and neighbors who are sick and so forth and people who are hurting. I believe God wants us to make intercession. I believe God asks us to make intercession and supplication, and He's interested in all of that. But friend, I believe with all of my heart that the purest form of worship and prayer comes from that time when you and I are just caught up and enraptured in how wonderful He is and how good He is and how loving He is and how holy He is and how mighty He is and how wonderful He is and His name is. And it is that prayer, that worship prayer, that's represented by this incense here. Represented by this incense. Bring Him some incense this Christmas season. Bring Him some incense in your life. Oh, that kind of prayer has that sweet aroma of worship, the worship of God. I want to tell you something. That is not a duty. That's a privilege. That's not a duty. It's not just prayer. It's not just for us to ask our needs and get the things that we want and get help for people, which that's okay. But friend, this incense praying, this worship praying, it's a different type of praying. It's a different type of talking to God. And I believe it brings us so close to His presence. Now, let me tell you this. You remember the encounter that Jesus had at the well of Jacob, Jacob's well there in Samaria? Remember that? And in John 4 there, He talked to that woman who'd been married five times and was living with a man. And she's talking about religion, and our fathers taught us in this mountain, and you say over there in that mountain. So it's just two different religions. And Jesus said in John 4:23, no, He said, "But the hour cometh." Now listen to this. "And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now listen, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He seeketh such to worship Him. Does God want us to come to Him and ask Him for the things we need? He told us to. Does He want us to come to Him and ask Him for burdens that we bear for other people? He told us to. When people go through difficult trials and testing, oh, He told us to. Does He want us to come to Him and cry out when we're frustrated? Yeah, He told us to. Do you know what He's really seeking? He's really seeking some child of His just to drive down the road or stand at the kitchen sink or maybe kneel by the recliner or the couch or the bed or just shut themselves in a little bit of a dark and quiet room and just spend a couple minutes telling Him how wonderful He is. And from a sincere and truthful heart, Lord, everything I have is because of You. Everything that I am is because of You. And everything that my family enjoys is because of You. And everything that I have in this country is because of You. And I'm not here to ask You for anything. I'm not here to ask You for anything for myself or my family or for my friends or for my neighbors. I'm here to tell You how blessed You are and how wonderful You are and how worthy of praise and glory. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. This kind of prayer should be done. This kind of worship is for God and God alone. Hey, you remember if you read the Bible, two or three times in the Bible, men fell down at the feet of other men to pay them homage. Remember that? Happened to Peter. And in Revelation, it happened twice. And do you remember what happened when those guys, a couple of those three or four times in the Bible, where men fell down at the feet of other men to pay them homage? Remember what the man standing said? Get up. Get up. What did he say? Worship God. That act of homage, that act of honor, that act of whatever you want to call it, label it, but that act that comes from the heart that says, oh God, there is none like You. You are the only God. You are the true God. You are my God, and You are worthy of all praise and glory and honor and worship. And God, I thank You and rejoice in all that You are, and I love You. That kind is for God and God only, and none other. Bring Him a little frankincense. Bring Him a little frankincense. I would encourage you, every time you pray, if you can. Now, sometimes you pray 30-second prayer. That's exactly what happens when I hear these sirens now because of this program. Lord, bless the men. Bless the folks as they go out on the call. But I would encourage you, when you're having your scheduled prayer time and you get done confessing your sins and asking God for your husband or your wife and your family and your parents and other needs, and God, we could sure use this and help us with this and give us wisdom. Before you hang up, before you say amen, throw a little incense on that prayer. The coals are already burning. Coals are already burning. Before you hang up, just throw a little powder on there, just for a moment. Let it burn in your heart, and let the aroma rise up to your God. Lord, before I hang up and move on to the next activity of the day, You're so great. And You're so wonderful. And I love You. That's incense prayer. Worship God. Bring Him some gold. Make Him the Lord, King. And then bring Him some incense. Worship Him. In that time of prayer that's like no other. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in all that we can learn from Your book. Challenges my heart so badly. Lord, help me. I need this. I need to practice this more often. God, we get so caught up in what we need and what we want and what we've got to have. Lord, You are so worthy of our honor and our praise and our worship. I pray that You'd help us to throw a little incense, a little powder on the coals that burn on the altar when we pray. May we bring You the incense, that worship that You're worthy of and that You seek. You seek such to talk to you in that manner because you are worthy. Speak to our hearts tonight, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me just ask before we give the invitation, is there anybody here tonight? I say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody like that, just slip your hand. If I want to always ask, give an opportunity in case a child, even a teenager or somebody. And then let me say this. Maybe you here this morning heard the message on making the Lord Jesus the King of your life. And once again resisted, but you've been thinking about it. Here's a great opportunity tonight to kneel and make Jesus King. Recognize Him as King and submit to Him. But how about being mindful now? This week, and boy, especially this week, when things get so active and busy with Christmas, it'd be so easy to pass it over and miss spending a little time with the Lord. Throw a little incense on your prayer this week. At the very end, at the very beginning, sometime, throw a little incense on that prayer time and worship Him. Tell Him how much you love Him because, friend, He sure is worthy of it. He enjoys it. He needs it. He seeks it. Wants it. Throw a little incense on your prayer this week. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation tonight. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart. Here we go.